once was lost in sin till Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He filled my heart with love and he wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear
our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
If you
feel a little prayer will turn him,
you will
know a little fire is burning.
You can
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I'll go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus,
let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear
our faintest cry,
he will
answer by and by.
And if you
feel a little prayer will turn him,
you will
know a little fire is burning.
You can
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will hear
our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by. And
if you
feel a little prayer will turn him,
you will
know a little fire is burning.
You can
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Well, all right.
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 Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Well, all right.
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 All right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
And you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it
you. Yeah.
So I'm giving my soul back to him. There's the image of him in everyone. He gave us his love when he gave us his son. So wash in the blood and cleanse your soul from sin. God gave you life that never will end. There's love in his sweet word. Only he could send. Now I'm back on the track and I'll never leave again. There's love
in his sweet word.
There's peace to fill within.
And there's life.
There's life he gave this world. So I'm giving my soul back to him.
Life's evening sun
is sinking low.
A few more days.
And I must go
to meet the deeds
that I have done.
Where there will be
no setting sun.
To be a child
Of God each day.
My light will shine
along the way.
I'll sing his praise
while the ages roll
and try to help
some troubled soul.
Life's evening sun
is sinking low.
A few more days.
I must go
to meet the deeds
that I have done.
Where there will be
no setting sun.
I'll try to lift
some traveler's load.
I'll try to change the night today.
Make flowers bloom
along the way.
Life's evening sun
is sinking low.
A few more days.
And I must go
to meet the deeds
that I have done.
Where there will be
no setting sun.
the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other is ever known.
All right, let's find a seat, if we will. All right, let's begin here this morning. As we begin this celebration of life service today, let's pray together and ask God for his help and his encouragement in each of our lives here today. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are gathered here today to remember the life of Al Miles and the life that he lived here on this earth. We also gathered to say goodbye one last time and to celebrate the life and service that he enjoyed, and to thank you for each precious moment and memory that we have of him. His life has touched so many in so many different ways. We pray that your peace and presence will be upon us during this service. And we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This morning we have all come to pay our final respects and to honor our loved one and our friend, Al Miles, Sr. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to be silent, and a time to speak." As our service progresses here this morning, this scripture, I believe, will be fulfilled right here in our presence. Here in just a few moments, some of you will choose to share some memories of Al with us. And some of these memories will perhaps make us laugh, and some, I'm sure, will make us cry. Some of you will simply choose to be silent today and just listen as others tell us about their personal relationship that they had with our brother and our friend, Al. And before this service ends today, many of us, I believe, will embrace one another as we try to comfort and encourage one another. So let the memories begin today. I want to call on Mary Yocum to come and to start us off here this morning with one of Al's passions. He was a volunteer fireman for over 24 years, and she has, I think, a few memories that she would like to share with us here today.
Thank you. To family, friends, firefighters, I am Mary Yocum. I have been associated with Volusia County Fire Rescue since 1982 and have worked with Al on many of the projects I will be talking about here. Alfred N. Miles Sr. joined Halifax Volunteer Firemen's Association Station 12 on June 4, 1985, after his brother-in-law, Linton Fiddler, encouraged him to join. In 1986, Station 12 consolidated into Volusia County Fire Rescue, at which time Al was a firefighter. In 1992, he changed his position to fire police. From 1985, his life changed. He was always helping others. I can remember Al during many love-filled events. For three Thanksgivings and one Christmas, Al joined a few others to help feed all of the on-duty emergency personnel for that particular holiday, which included the firefighters, emergency medical services personnel, and law enforcement. Each event, we served over 100 people. Not only did we prepare the food, we delivered it all over the county. Another incident, one Christmas Eve, very early in the morning hours, there was a major structure fire in Holly Hill where the family lost everything. Within the family was four boys. Wanting to do something for the family, Al joined others at Walmart to purchase four toy fire trucks, one for each of the four children. When they delivered these gifts to the family, a newspaper reporter was there in regards to the fire and saw the firefighters delivering these gifts. This shower of love made the front page of the newspaper on Christmas Day. During the 1998 fires, Al coordinated the staging area at Plantation Pines, where he was the coordinator of food, clothing, and water for all the firefighters and other personnel. He assisted the fire prevention team with the fire safety trailer to educate the elementary children in the area. He loved participating in the Christmas parades, both in Holly Hill and Ormond by the Sea. For several years, Halifax Volunteer Firemen's Association held bingo on Friday and Saturday nights. Al was in attendance with calling bingo or working in the food concession. Al, you will never be forgotten. We have loved you during life and will never forget you in death. Now I would like to ask all the firefighters, both current and past, to stand with me. I know there's a group here. I am going to read the fireman's prayer. When I am called to duty, God, wherever flames may rage, give me strength to save a life, whatever be its age. Help me to embrace a little child before it's too late, or save an older person from the horror of that fate. Enable me to be alert to hear the weakest shout, and quickly and efficiently to put the fire out. I want to fill my calling and give the best in me to guard my neighbor and protect his property. And if according to your will, I have to lose my life, bless with your protecting hand my loving family from strife. Radio command, dispatch to retired fire police 156. No response. Retired fire police 156, Alfred Miles Sr. is now out of service. Amen.
Some here today have known Al for many years, but my involvement in his life has been quite short, just a bit over 3 years. Didn't know that when I first met him, but that's what it ended up being, just 3 wonderful years. He joined this local church on September 8th, 2019, but I had met Al for the very first time at our vacation Bible school of that summer. Here's where I give his sister, Mary Ann Fidler, a member here in our church, all the credit for getting Al to visit our church for the very first time. She convinced him that somehow he needed to bring his grandkids to vacation Bible school that year. And so he decided to do it. I don't know all the reasons why he agreed to do it, but here comes Big Al and his grandkids. And from the very first night on, Al, as they say, I think was hooked on our church. Several times, he tried to express to me very emotionally the feelings that he was having during that VBS experience. You see, lots of people think that vacation Bible school is just for kids, but I knew differently. When I saw him that first night, I knew something was up. Didn't quite know what, but I knew something was different about Al. And all week long, he not only dropped off his kids, but he stayed. A lot of parents would just drop them off and leave, but we had an adult class, and for whatever reason, he decided, I'll stay to the end, and came and was part of that adult class all week long while the kids were doing their stuff. Al fell in love. With this church during that week. And that was the beginning of a new venture, a new adventure for his life. That fall, then he joined the church. And after he joined, I began to notice very quickly he was willing to jump in anywhere and everywhere to help assist others with needs and concerns that he had and what they had. I remember thinking to myself often during that first year of his involvement here that maybe one day Al would maybe think about becoming a deacon maybe in this church. He was doing a lot of deacon work without the title, willing to assist and help and encourage, So as I look back now, realizing that he was only part of our church for 3 years, it's interesting how those 3 years lay out. The first year he was here, I would call it his growing year. He was at all the services of this church. Never missed a one, unless he was sick or unable to be here. I watched in real time a big man, physically, but a big man spiritually, opening himself up, allowing the Lord to pour it in. He wanted to learn. He wanted to grow. And it was a real blessing to see that happen. First year was his growing year. Second year was his learning year. Because at the end of that year, we did approach Al because of all that he was doing. And we asked him, based on his service during that first year, would he be willing to maybe study and become a church leader and be a deacon here within our congregation? And he did like most men, well, I don't know if I can really do that. And I said, well, Lord does though, don't you think? Yeah, the Lord would know. I said, why don't you give the Lord a chance? And he agreed. And so for his second year here, he was in weekly classes, being trained, being mentored, being encouraged to do something that had a name on it. Now, he was already doing a lot of that and didn't even know that was what deacons did. But through that training and encouragement, he became, I believe, a great deacon here in our congregation. He was literally so excited to have the opportunity to become that leader here in this church. Over my many years of experience, I've watched a lot of men become leaders, but many times they didn't want to be those leaders. Grudgingly, they stepped up because people were twisting their arms and saying, you need to try it and do it. And not Al. I didn't have to twist his arm, ever. Which then leads to his third and final year. And I call that his service year. Once he was ordained as a deacon, you could see the love and the desire deeply in his heart to do whatever he could. For a small church, we have a lot of widows, almost 20. We only run about 50, 60 on a Sunday. 20 are widows. He took them all on, single-handedly. He became their best friend. I watched him do things that we have not done for quite some time in this church, especially because of COVID, because he was always making himself available. That was the key. He would just show up. He would go at a moment's notice. Whatever needed to be done, he would do it. Never an arm twist on my part or the elders' part of this church. Always willing and Abel. It was during this last year, now keep in mind, I didn't know this was going to be his last year of service. I was looking for many years of service out of Al, but in that third year, I began to get a little concerned. And I went to Al on several occasions, and I said, Al, I have one concern when I think about you and your service in this church. And he says, well, what's that? You know how he does. What's that, Mike? Voice could get deeper, you know. I said, Al, I'm concerned about your health. You're not a well man. I need you to last for the long haul. I know there are people in here that need you. And so I got right in his face and I said, Al, you got to start saying no. I've never stopped you, but I'm going to have to encourage you to slow down. Start saying no. Not to everybody, but some people. Because you just don't have the energy and the lung capacity and the breathing that you need to take on all this that you want to take on. Al, I said, I love you, but you can't keep going at this pace. He looked at, you know, he gets deep in his voice. He said, okay, don't worry. Don't worry about me. The good Lord will help me on my bad days. Okay. So we come to the end of that third year. The last day I talked to Al just happened to be the day before he passed away. He was in the hospital, of course, not well. And when I entered the room of that hospital, I could tell that he must have had a bad day. You can see it. He looked awful. And he proceeded to tell me how much pain he had been in for hours upon hours, and only within a half hour of my visit was he starting to feel a little better, only because they had finally given him pain medication. But he had been in excruciating pain most of that day, and it took a toll on him. But in the middle of that conversation, he speaks up all of a sudden. We talked about some minor things, but then all of a sudden he just speaks up. He said, don't worry. The Father's Day dinner is all taken care of. I said, Al, stop. No, Mike, it's okay. I've been on the phone today calling people and telling them what to bring. And seriously? Come on. Al, you got to stop it. There are people that can take care of that. No, Mike. I needed to do this for the church. Folks, that is a deacon, if I've ever seen one through and through. He was a deacon. Deep down in his heart of hearts. Now, no, in real time, I didn't know he was going to pass away the next day. Here was a man who was serving his church from a hospital bed while in awful pain, telling people what they needed to bring for dinner that coming Sunday. Good night. Yes, Al served well in his last year that I call his service year. And he served. To the day that he died. On that same visit, I asked Al, "Do you think there's anything I need to be concerned about here?" Referring to him, of course. "Anything I need to be concerned about before I leave here today, Al? Tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what's going on. Am I going to see you tomorrow, Al?" I asked. Again, I didn't know what was going to happen that next day. But he looked at me and he said, "Don't worry, Mike. That's right after I got on him. "Don't worry about me, Mike. The good Lord has my back." And whether I live or die, I know where I'll be. You see, when he said that, I began to think he was holding out on me. I think he knew. I tried to be positive. I said, "All right. I'm going to pray with you now, and I expect to see you tomorrow." And I never saw him the next day. It was truly an honor. To have Al as one of our church leaders here at South Haven. He served faithfully to the last day of his life. Best deacon I ever worked with. And I worked with a lot of them over the years. So sad that he was taken in what I believe would have been a grand ministry for him and for our church after only 1 year of service. I will never forget this brother and what he accomplished in such a short period of time with this body of believers. Now, right now, we need to take a little break. And we want to share with you just a little video that has been put together showing some of the special moments in Al's life. I've been told that Al is in every picture, whether you see him or not, or recognize him or not. He's there. I've only seen a little bit of this, and I didn't recognize him. I kept thinking he had a brother or someone. I don't know. So as this plays here for us, I hope that it'll bring some memories and some events to your mind. And then after this is over, after we watch this, then some of you will have a chance, if you wish, to share maybe a memory that you have, if you wish to do so. But let's have all of our lights right now, and let's see what this video has for us.
Like a siren song, wailing over the rooftops the whole night long. Saw a shooting star, like a diamond in the sky. Must be someone's soul passing by. These are the streets where we used to run, where your papa's from. These are the days where you become what you become. These are the streets where the story's told, the truth unfolds, darkness settles in. Oh, shine your light down on me. Lift me up so I can see. Shine your light when you're gone. Give me the strength to carry on, carry on. No wanna be hero, just an everyday man. Trying to do the job the very best he can. Lift me up
I've been a walking heartache. I've made a mess of me. The person that I've been lately ain't who I want to be. But you stay here right beside me and watch as the storm blows through. And I need you. Scott gave me you for the ups and downs.
Looking back on the memory of the dance we shared beneath the stars above. For a moment, all the world was right. How could I have known that you'd ever say goodbye? And now, glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the day. Holding you, I
wasn't I the king? But if I'd only known how the king would fall, yeah, who's to say? You know I might have changed it all. And now, glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance. Yes, my life is better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance.
The nature of a memorial service is primarily to get as many people as possible to share as many stories and special memories of the one who is no longer able to be with us, so that we have fuel to go a while, to be able to think and remember what this man meant to our lives and what he did in our lives, perhaps. And when you want to turn a memorial service into a celebration of life service, which is what we are doing here today, it is even more important to focus in on the events that define Al's life and service here on this earth. And so I thank Mary Yoakum for sharing a part of his life that I wasn't fully aware of. I knew he was a firefighter, but I didn't know till today that he was involved in the wildfires of 98. And that was the first event that this preacher had to confront when he first came to Port Orange. The wildfires of 98. And he was serving, we were serving. For weeks on end, we served firefighters here. It's interesting how those stories begin to intertwine and you begin to learn things about somebody that you never knew. So right now, the family has asked us to open this up just a little bit. And if you would like to speak or share a memory with us about Al, you're going to be given this opportunity here today, except there's one caveat. It's always the one that people don't want to hear. And that is, if you wish to share, you have to come down here. That's why I'm meeting you halfway. You know, you have to come here and use a microphone. I can assure you, if you speak where you are, it doesn't matter. Even if you have Al's booming voice, there will be someone in this room that will say, "What did they say? What was that? Did I miss something?" That's the nature of the acoustics in this building. So that's why I'm down here. That's why I have two rows right here. And in order for us to continue continuity of our service and to flow easily and quickly, I would like to ask that if you wish to share something, short and sweet, some involvement, some event, some story, and you're able to do it with a mic in your face, you got to have it right up to your mouth for it to work well, then I'd like you to stand right now and make your way to the front, and I want you to sit on both sides here as we see how many people want to say something here today. And we'll give you a minute to get up here. And while you're sitting up here, you'll have a little bit of time to collect your thoughts, too, as well as we go one at a time here. But all right. Anybody else? This is your time to come, please. Judy, I just want you to stand right here. Yeah, so that we can get you back to your seat. All right, all right, anybody else? Okay, I'm looking. 3, 5, 8. All right, so we don't have 25 people talking here today. All right, so you can see what we want to do here. We have a few stories that need to be shared. You can see that this mic's not in my face, but I got one right here, okay? This one, while you come up here, really close to your mouth, okay? And if it's way down here, I just want to prepare those that are up here. I'm going to come and I'm going to push slowly. I'm going to push this up because I want everybody to hear what you have to say. And we're going to start here with Judy, and then that way she can get back to her place here. But this is Judy Perry. I'll make sure this is on. All right. And we're going to let her start here today.
Al was a huge part of my life from the time he moved and became a member of South Haven. I felt so taken care of and so protected. He called every day, and if I needed anything, he was right there. He picked me up every Wednesday night because I was getting so I couldn't see, so that to be sure that I could go to Bible study. And the day before he died, he had called me and left a message that said that he would call tomorrow. And one of the things he was very concerned about was that I get to Bible study. And so he kept saying, somebody needs to find Johnny, see if Johnny can take her. I've never known a more caring man. No matter what he did, he did it all. And he was so proud of being a deacon.
All right, we'll let you go ahead and... All right, we've also asked... the family to be last, so we're going to start. You're not part of the family, I don't believe, so we'll let you. Oh, is he? Stacy.
I was the VBS director that year that Al came to church, and I was so blessed to meet Al that night. The very first night when he came with Marianne, and I have loved Al ever since. He has been my right-hand man. If you guys go to our church, you'll know that I plan everything, and it comes at the last minute. and I always would tell Al, I'd call him, and I'd be like, Al, I've got this idea. And he'd be like, okay. And he would help me through all of my ideas. And the very last one I had was I wanted to do a church picnic for the 4th of July, and Al worked so hard to help me with this church picnic, and that was the last time I got to work with him. We had gone on vacation, and he actually ended up passing away while we were on vacation, and I didn't get to see him past that time, and I'm really going to miss him a lot. But he was always there for me. He was always the person that I could turn to and be like, Al, I need this. And he would go out of his way if it had to be that way. And he would always make time to do the things that I needed him to do as a church family. And I'm really going to miss that.
I'm Linton Fiddler. Al was my brother-in-law. I married his sister. And I can remember he was only about 13 at the time. So he was in New Jersey. He moved down here a few years later. I was with the Halifax Fire Department. I got him to join, and we went to one of the meetings, which was the start of his going to the fire department. So he went on from there. And I appreciate the fire department because I had things I wanted to say about him, but they said everything. So that takes some of the burden. And I just got to say, my wife and I went to the hospital after he got very sick one time. When we left that day, I didn't think he'd walk out of that hospital, but he did. He got well, and he came out. So he wanted to get stronger. So he came out to the house, 3-4 days a week, and he would work in my greenhouse planting seeds. He planted those seeds, so many of them, he said his eyes would cross because the seeds were so small. So anyhow, after a while then, he stopped coming because he joined the church here. And my wife was, well, as Mike said, he came to the Vacation Bible School, and that was the start of him coming to church. So from there on, he just progressed, and I was really proud of him for doing that. Thank you.
Okay. All right, we'll go right down the row here.
Nice to see a crowd here. A lot of those pictures brought back memories. I was at some of those Christmas parties as a very young man, sitting on that Santa Claus's lap. It's interesting to look back on it now. 40 years later, it's just, it's amazing. I'm going to take a little bit of extra time here. As y'all know, I'm Mary Fiddler's youngest son, Al's older sister, and she's unable to be with us today because she's in the hospital trying to get stronger herself. She really wanted to be here, and I know it would fill her heart with joy to see everybody here to celebrate Al. I'll start with a few words that she wrote down, and I had to write some stuff down too because otherwise I'll get all tongue-tied and I won't be able to tell everyone what I'm thinking. She says, "How do you say goodbye to a little baby that was your chief instigator growing up?" She says, "Watching a little boy grow through the stages of becoming a man was a privilege for me. One of the proudest days Al had was on the day he joined our church and became a deacon. His love will always be with God, and he will always be God's little go-getter. I love you, brother." I got a few thoughts, too. It seems like a lot of the memories and a lot of the photos and things that people have spoke about with Uncle Al up here were involved food. Seems like there's a common denominator in the aspects of Uncle Al's service to others in his life, and that is food. He always wanted to make sure the people around him had a full belly. Uncle Al was a positive force for me, defending me as a child, and teaching me work ethic, like my dad. I don't know how many of y'all know that Uncle Al used to have his own tile business, and he worked for tile contractors back in the day. So, you know, I was 11, 12 years old. He'd teach me how to mix mud, and if I didn't do it right, I had to go back and do it again. And, you know, where's that mud out? I need to get this tile down and things like that. And, you know, he just, he was tough, but I never knew a man that loved his family more and his extended family, and he was always very good to me. And I'm sorely going to miss him. I'm sorry, I got off track here. Some here may know of his career with his own tile business and working for others. He always worked hard for his family and friends and his Lord. Now he can reap the benefits of his hard work. He's with his Lord, and I celebrate that. I'm going to miss you.
All right.
I've only had the privilege of knowing Al for 9 months. When I came back to this church, I was at this church in 1998 when they fed the firefighters, and we did trips up and down 95 feeding the firefighters, and I never knew that Al was at the other end of that coordinating. But Al was a blessing to me, and he was a blessing to so many of us in this church. He had a way of leading people. Sometimes it was a little harsh, but I'm going to tell a story. I don't know. The last day that I worked with him, he was being a little bit bossy. Some of you may have experienced that with him. I wrote Brett on his leg with a magic marker, and he said, "You know, that's not coming off." I said, "I hope not, Al. I hope you look at that and you remember you're a bully." And he says, "I'm a bully?" He was so surprised. But we loved him. And he loved this church, and he loved his family, and he certainly loved his Lord. And the last time I spoke to him, he mentioned his family and how concerned he was that they might not see him in heaven. And he says, "That's my greatest wish." I hope you all remember that when you remember Al. He loved you. He wants you in heaven. God wants you in heaven.
All right. We'll go over here.
Okay, well, I'm not going to tell all the stories I know, but for y'all that don't know me, I'm Al's other brother-in-law. And it's actually a good, it's a good thing he was a firefighter, because Al's blown himself up, Lloyd, about 3 times. My favorite one was back in the lean years. He had a motorcycle, and he had to ride the bike back and forth to work. And he worked at the Handyway store, so he's always riding at night. Well, this is before cell phones. You know, you got a cell phone, now you got a light. He was on his way to work, and the motorcycle breaks down. Trying to figure out what's wrong with it. Well, check, see if it's out of gas. Well, the only way you had to check, see if it's out of gas, is get a cigarette lighter out. Woke up the next morning, Heather wakes up beside him, and half a hair on his face is going, "What the hell did you do?" I'll tell some better ones later. Here, he's in the best place.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Barry Ellis. I worked with Al at Station 2 many years. And when I first saw, when Linton brought him in to drill at Tuesday night, I'm going, "Okay, who's this guy?" Well, he turned out to be one of my best friends. And of course, I had got promoted and drifted on, and we kind of lost contact. But anywhere or anytime I needed Al, I called him up and say, "Hey, Al, I got a problem." And he was always there. In 96, I was going through a personal issue, and I became a single parent of my oldest daughter. And Al picked her up, and I got to say Heather and Al, picked my daughter up from school, because I worked on the west side of the county. He picked her up every day from Spruce Creek High School and brought her to my house and took care of her. That's how a man he was, him and Heather, the best two people in the world. Yep. And thank you, Inky. And I just want to thank him.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. No? Oh, right here. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Paula. I'm Al's oldest granddaughter. And just like someone else here, I have a little bit written down, so I'm just going to read. You know, I printed this in my office before I left, and guess where it's at? Right on my desk. In my office, on the desk. Luckily, I'm smart and I emailed it to myself as well. Okay. I know the circumstances are not the best, but I would like to say thank you to everyone for being here. It does fill my heart with joy to see everyone here and know that my grandfather touched so many lives. My grandfather, Al, Big Al, Alf, Granddad, was one of the best men I've had the pleasure of knowing in my lifetime. The lessons he taught me and the support he offered to me are invaluable. He taught me lessons about life, money, love, family, and so much more. He had a huge heart, even though he wasn't always the easiest to work with. You always knew at the end of the day that you could turn to him in a time of need, and he would do anything that he could to help you. Even if you guys just argued, which shocked me every time. This church and the people within it meant so much to him. Becoming a deacon was one of his proudest moments. I remember the day that we came for that. When we walked in, he was crying. He was just so happy to have the opportunity and become part of this church family in such a huge way. In 2015, we lost my Nana, Heather, who was the love of his life. Anyone who knew my grandfather knows how much he missed and loved his wife. I said a prayer the night before he passed, not knowing what was going to happen like everyone else. But I just said a prayer to God that if it came down to it, if it was what was best for him, that God would have my Nana waiting for him in heaven. I know that my prayer was heard. The saying is cliche, but words really cannot express how much I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss hearing him say, "I'm not doing this again next year." Every single year at Thanksgiving, every year, towards the end, we would even put bets on it. I'm going to miss all of the silly dad jokes he used to tell, like, why can't ghosts have babies? Because they have Halloweenies. I'm going to miss his advice, turning to him for, you know, not only materialistic advice to financial things, but just my path in life and where I should go next. You know, he was always there to lend an ear and give me the best advice he could based on his own experience in life. and so many more things that would just take too long to say here today. Heaven has gained an incredible angel, and my grandfather will forever be in our hearts.
Thank you. Lee, do you want to go up on the? You want to go up here? Or you want to do it here?
I think I'm okay here. Okay. So, first and foremost, I want to thank everybody for being here today, all your love and support. As you all know, I'm Ingrid Nicole, and I'm the firstborn child of Alfred Nicholas. I could have not got blessed with a better father. He was my rock and my strength. And then he blessed me again with an out-of-this-world mother and two new baby brothers that I loved so very much. And we had a perfect family. He was always the one to tell me, life has hills, baby, and some of them may be small and others are going to be tall. And you might bump your butt a little bit getting over them, but you will always overcome them. He was the one that worked three jobs just to make sure his family had what they needed and helped others by battling fires. He was always happy and full of life. I can remember when he would say to me and my brothers, hey, y'all want to hear a dirty joke? And of course, we were like, yeah, Dad. And he would say, the pig fell in the mud. To be honest, he would laugh more than we did. We always had the best holidays, him and Mom. Mom's favorite holiday was Halloween. And most of the time, him and Mom would dress up with us while eating our candy on the way. At Christmas time, him and Mom would stay up all night cleaning Santa, and Mom would wrap our big presents, while Dad's job was just to put our toys together and wrap the stocking stuffers, because, you know, Dad wasn't so tiny on wrapping. But I have to say, April Fool's Day was his favorite holiday, and guaranteed he would get you. And when he would get you, he would just laugh and laugh and laugh because he knew he got you and he got you good. He loved, anybody that knows him knows that April Fool's Day was his favorite holiday. Our father was larger than life, and he loved to help people. He was all about his family, and when he was in the room, you knew it, because you could always hear him from a mile away. He loved his grandbabies even more, and when Mama passed away, that was his promise to her that he would take care of the grandbabies. And of course, he never let her down on that promise. And after her passing away, he lost the love of his life, his true soulmate. And he was lost for a while until his sister Marianne came to him and offered him to come out and help on their farm. And so he did, and he went every day, and he loved it. But then his health started to deteriorate, and he could no longer go out and work the farm. But meanwhile, while he was working on the farm, his sister Marianne also told him about their wonderful church that they were members of, and that they had a Bible study for the kids during the summer. So Dad thought he would take the grandbabies and see how they liked it. Well, let's just say it was hook, line, and sinker for Dad. He fell in love with the church and the church fellowship. South Haven and all of the members became a new love and passion for him. It always made him happy. No matter what he was doing, involving his newfound family in his new home. He got so involved, he became the team leader of the kitchen ministry, and then was voted in as a deacon of this church. And he was all in his glory. He was so happy and so proud, and he would do whatever it took to make sure both of his families were taken care of. He was so proud of his role as a deacon, he went and purchased a deacon ring. to show all the world of his special gift. The ring was very special to him, just as special as when his firstborn grandson, Brandon, B, as he called him. And I know in my heart that he would want his deacon ring to go to his firstborn grandson. So B, if you would come up here and enter. Hold this for you and turn some hands. This is a gift from your granddad. He wanted you to have this so you always remember him. So every time you are missing him, all you have to do is look at your ring and know he is always with you, screaming louder than anybody else in the stands for you to hit that home run because he knows you can't. This is his deacon ring, baby. My father was, like I said, larger than life and would give the shirt off his back to help anyone, even if it was his last. He touched a lot of people. And I'm okay today knowing he is in heaven with Jesus and his soulmate, his wife, our mama. He is happy and not in pain and will never be forgotten. I love you, Daddy. And I know you are watching over all of us. And I know we have one more angel in heaven.
Okay. All right. All in the front row can return to your seats there. I want to thank each one that took the time to come. This is not easy at all to get up in front of a crowd and even share familiar stories or memories. There's a lot of fear factor up here, and so I thank each one that made that effort and came and gave us a few memories, a couple thoughts and stories that maybe we knew, but maybe we didn't know, and it's nice to know a little bit more about Al. I am I'm going to end. It's not the way I thought I would end here today, but something was mentioned earlier, and I'm just going to play off of it because I really do believe this was one of Al's biggest concerns. He prayed often. He came out every Wednesday night. We have a prayer time. He prayed often, and in the second year when he was being mentored and trained to be a deacon, we had weekly prayer sessions together. And one of his concerns always to me was, I don't think all my family is going to be with me in heaven. You need to pray for them. And he would throw out names. Oh yeah. So if you ever have felt anything, it's not accidental. I do believe the Holy Spirit answers those kinds of prayers. He prayed regularly and often. I know there was a period of time when he was frustrated. He says, I pray and pray and pray and nothing ever seems to happen. I thought it was God's will that people get saved. Why is my family not getting saved? And I'm talking to them, I'm encouraging them, I pray for them, and nothing seems to happen. And I said, Al, look at me. I said, family will be the hardest people that you'll ever win to Christ. Sorry to break that news to you. Don't give up. Keep at it. They're watching you in real time do something that you haven't done in a long time, and that is, you're growing. You're getting closer to the Lord by the day. And they see that whether they tell you or not. They know there's something different about you than 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They see it. Oh, okay, all right. I said, here's what you need to do during these lull times when you think nothing's happening, although things are happening. You're planting seeds, Al. Keep on planting the seeds, but why don't you share your faith with someone that's not part of your family? Oh? I said, you might be surprised. And it was within weeks. Al had to go in the hospital. He was in the hospital a lot that second year. That's why I got concerned about him. And he called and he says, I've met somebody. I've invited him to church. Way to go, Al. Was that hard? No, it wasn't hard at all. And long story short, that young man, Johnny Hall. Is Johnny Hall here? Did I see him? I think I saw him earlier. He said he was actually working while he was here. He got off just for a little bit. But Johnny Hall is saved today because Al took the time in a hospital bed. He's famous for that now, doing work in hospital beds. And he shared his faith with a fellow that just walked in one day, and he says, I want to share with you about the Lord. I want to share about my church. Johnny listened and then came. It was just a hop, skip, and jump. A few weeks later, he's in Bible study, and then he's being immersed into Christ, getting saved. Unfortunately, I think the Sunday he got saved, Al's in the hospital again. Could not be here for that baptism. Thank goodness for these apps today. He saw it on his phone in the hospital room. He was so excited. I guess the Lord does hear those prayers. I said, he does. And so I'd like to end this service, as someone shared earlier. You have to know, family, and I'm talking to family right now. He prayed for every one of you. Especially if you're outside the Lord. I don't know all of you. I don't know your relationship. But I know a few of you were not saved. He knew that. And he prayed. And he prayed some more. I will tell you that what you're hearing today is going to fade with time. This will be the last time some of you will be challenged to do what your father, grandfather, your friend, your uncle. I know you all had different relationships with him. This may be the last official hearing that you'll hear me say. I've heard him pray over and over and over again. I just pray that they'll be in heaven one day. I want my family with me. Al told me, I know what the Bible says. He says, when just one person comes to the Lord, it says that the angels of heaven rejoice over one person who repents. And he says, that must be a party. That must be a grand party up there. They're going to be busy having lots of parties for my family. I said, you're right. You're right. So I end this message today primarily for the family, because I know what God, I know what Al, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what I know Al would want you to hear. He wants you all saved. He's waiting for you now in heaven. And he hopes you all make it. Al told me, he says, I become part of that great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews 12 talks about. I said, yes, you do. If you pass away, you're in heaven cheering on everyone that you've planted seeds with, everyone that you've prayed for. I'm telling you, you are that great cloud of witness, part of that great cloud of witnesses. And they're all cheering you on, hoping that you make it one day. And so I end in the traditional way,
my Lord,
of any funeral that I ever do. And that's
put
it.
Your
and
hand
I'll say this to not only the family, but anybody else.
I can see
else.
It.
Because Al talked to some of you. I'm looking out. I know that he prayed for some of you who are here in this room who are not Christians. He prayed for you by name. If you want to give Al honor, if you want to give him a tribute, as they say, if you want to honor his life in death, if you ever talk to you even once about the Lord, if he ever talk to you even for a moment about, are you going to be in heaven one day? I would say the greatest tribute that you can give to Al is to not let that seed be wasted. Let it grow. Let it blossom. And one day he will be waiting for you as you enter the glories of heaven one day. We're going to stand and we're going to be dismissed here in just a moment. Al's ashes are up here, if you did not know. He has been cremated. And there is a graveside service that we will proceed to move quickly toward as we dismiss here and as we begin to exit this building. In the foyer, there are sheets of paper that have the address for the graveside. And then if you plan to be part of the Celebration of Life gathering in the afternoon, there's an address for the Eagles building there on Nova. And you need to get those two if you have no idea so that you can GPS it and get there. But when we leave here, we are going over to White Street for these ashes to be put into a vault. It'll take us longer to get there than the time that we will be there. Just know it's not a very long service. And then after that is over, then those that are going to head on to the afternoon activities and the fellowship time, that's where you'd be heading after that. I thank you for coming too. Al was bigger than life, as I've heard some of you speak here in our church. We'll never forget him. He will be a challenge and a model for lots of brothers, particularly, to look at. What a servant's heart. And he had an evangelistic heart because he wanted to see many people in heaven. Think on those thoughts, if you will, as this service begins to fade from your memory with time. Just know that Al's still part of that great witness in heaven. And he's cheering you on. And he hopes you make it. And you will make it if you let God help you along those pathways and that journey to heaven one day. Let's stand. We're going to be dismissed. Thank you for coming, being part of this special day that honors our brother and friend, Alfred Miles. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Friday afternoon now that we have come together. We've seen pictures, we've heard stories, and we've heard truly the desire of his heart, and that is to see many, if not all of us, in heaven one day. May we depart, Father, with his words, his influence, his actions, his involvement in each of our lives, in our heart of hearts. May we never forget him. And may we draw strength, even on this day, from the warm stories that have been shared. And may it sustain us and help us as we try to encourage one another in the huge hole that has been left in his wake. Just bless the rest of the activities of this day. Keep us safe as we travel from one location to another. And may this day end with truly a celebration of his life in full. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing. And they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven that won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken. And all the old will be made new. And
the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, it won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall, the only scars in heaven, yeah, are on the hands that hold you now. Not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven, it won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, and even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven on the hands that hold you now.
Are cashews healthy, or can they lead to weight gain?
Stay away.